Thank you, Andy. Would you join me in a brief opening prayer? As we worry, we get sick and lose the joy in life. So, Lord, please help us to turn to you in faith with all our anxieties and worries. Amen.
Amen.
So what do you think I thought when I realised I was doing a sermon on worrying? You got it. Does anyone here worry?
Yes.
Hands, those who worry? Okay. What sort of things do you worry about?
What's the name too?
I think we call that care rather than worry. Anything else? What do people worry about? Family, health, relationships, money, sadly, things, home, food. Last weekend I woke up and regretted it. My mind went immediately to an issue I had with my pension. I've just retired as of a week ago. Way! But last weekend I had an online PDF document from the teacher's pension scheme, university scheme which I was on. And message, you know, came through. I thought, ah, here's the pension. It was only half what I'd calculated. Remember, I'm an accountant. I calculated. Or slightly over. I couldn't deal with it all weekend because, of course, it was the weekend. I thought I knew in my heart there was a mistake. But you know when you get rot, you know, sometimes your self-doubt creeps in. And I was trying to find a reason I'd been at fault, you know, because it was obviously significant. I spent most of Sunday worrying about it, and it just made me annoyed. Monday morning, I rang the appropriate teacher's pensions number, and, of course, they'd only shown half the pension information on the PDF document and told me I had nothing to worry about. Easy for them to say. Apparently, they're not quite up to speed with online things. I think when you do a PDF, it can cut off half the document if it's too wide, which is what had happened. It was worrying, but what worried me afterwards was I demonstrated a marked lack of faith in God and not trusting in him, despite my prayers, and believe me, I did pray about it. So I was even worrying when it was all resolved about my faith and trusting God not being up to it. After all, why pray when you can worry? It was like I needed to chastise myself and find something else to worry about to fill the gap of a worry that had gone away. Can anyone identify with that? You have nothing to worry about, so let's move to something else where we can really worry about that thing, you know. Oh, there's no bacon in for breakfast. You know, you worry about ridiculous things. No, it isn't, is it? What good did it do me? Actually, it made me feel very ill at ease, and though in my heart I knew there was a mistake, I sometimes think it's really the fear of living life to the full that makes me do this. Perhaps I don't deserve it. Perhaps I shouldn't be happy. Perhaps I'm just made that way, or wired that way, as you said earlier, and I have to suffer. Maybe that's my lot. But that is not Christ's teaching. As Christians, we shouldn't fear death, as that is just an event before we go to heaven. If we fear death, we'll take no risks in life, but those risks can give us huge enjoyment and fulfillment. Satan wants us to fear death, as that fear gives him control over us by preventing us being all that we can be. It took me too long to believe fully in God. And now I'm talking about Satan. I really struggle with that one. One bright, beautiful Sunday morning, everyone in my tiny country village in Shwar in Shropshire woke early and went to the local church. Before the service started, the village folk sat in their pews talking about their lives and their families, and suddenly at the altar, Satan appeared. Everyone started screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in their determined efforts to get away from the evil incarnate. Soon, everyone was evacuated from the church, except for one man who was sitting calmly in his pew, seemingly oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy was in his presence. This confused Satan a bit, and he walked up to the man and said, "Hey, don't you know who I am?" "Yep, sure do," the man said. "So why aren't you afraid of me?" "Well, aren't you afraid of me?" "Nope, sure ain't," the man said. Satan says, "And why aren't you afraid of me?" And the man says, "Well, I've been married to your sister for 25 years. It's slightly off the point, but one point through that humour is he could look life in the eye and face up to life's issues because his experience had taught him he can get through it, and even his deepest fears were unfounded. If someone says, "Don't worry," does that help? No, it irritates a bit, doesn't it? If someone says, "90% of your worries never happen," does that help? If you're a born worrier, it doesn't help at all, because you're sure this problem is in the other 10%, aren't you? Absolutely sure. If someone says, "I know with that disease it was cured within a month for me," does that help? No, because you're not feeling lucky to have the disease in the first place. But if Jesus says, "Don't worry, as you will be given the kingdom of heaven," does that help? Well, it should do, shouldn't it? So either we don't believe in him when he says that, or we feel unworthy to receive that gift. Or maybe we just keep failing, just a little bit. Does Jesus love us any less because we worry? I don't think so. We're human beings. We're made in God's image, but sometimes we forget that and fall down. We just have to get up again. And the only way is to turn to God. Have you ever worried about something so much that 2 hours after you should have been asleep, you're no nearer either sleep or solving the problem? I bet there's no one in the room who hasn't had that. Maybe you're just dropping off and you wake with a start thinking, "I have to keep worrying because I'm really good at it. If I don't worry, it must mean I don't care." What we need to do is to separate care from worry. Care is rooted in love. Concern is an extension of care as we show careful attention to the details of how we might properly care for that thing or that person whom we love. But concern, which becomes compulsive or morphs into anxiety, changes from affection, which is rooted in love, to worry, which is rooted in fear. And while fear takes many forms, fear is, at its core, at least in part, an acceptance of all the negative possibilities in life and a denial of the promises of God. The opposite of love is, no, it's not hate, it's fear. Fear of the unknown. The fear that can then turn into hate when looking to blame someone or something for the cause of the problem. Just let it all go. Leave it with God in prayers, and when you look back, you'll see that it's taken care of. If we remove the fear of death, then we remove the fear of life, and so the joy of life and all that it has to offer returns. Let us look more closely at the passage. And don't worry about all these pieces of paper. Don't worry about it. They're not... Okay, there's not that much here. I just have to print them a bit bigger now. I'm retired. I did. It's all on one sheet, actually, but I realised I couldn't read it.
So we mustn't worry.
Don't worry, no. So last week, Andy talked about don't be a rich fool. Be rich towards God. And it was about storing up things in your barns. The next section after this passage is about preparing for his coming and talking about your clothing. It's not talking about what you're wearing. It's about what you're clothed inside as well, about light shining out of us, about how people perceive us. And we want people to say when they talk to us, I want a bit of what he's got or a bit of what she's got. But this passage starts off, don't worry. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've read it more than once, and I don't just mean for this preparation either. It's a wonderful passage. Starts off, verse 22, what is life about? It's more than food and clothing. And then goes on to explain what life is about. Talks about, in verse 24, the birds, the ravens. They don't have a storeroom, but God feeds them. So, if we believe in God, we believe God's looking after the birds, the logic must be he's going to look after us even better, isn't he? Aren't we worth more than the birds? Okay. Their food is all there. The lilies of the field, verse 27, 28. They don't labor or spin. They're still beautiful. How much more will God clothe you? And again, I interpret that clothing as clothing from the inside, not about what we're wearing. And then do not worry. The pagan does the worrying. So am I a pagan because I do my worrying? I hope not. But the point is God knows our needs. So if we seek his kingdom, even if we don't have to keep worrying because he knows what we need. When I did my course, I had a chat with my personal tutor, a lovely lady called Jill, and I was kicking myself about not praying regularly enough or not having this scheduled in my day about prayer. And she said, but you're busy, aren't you? I said, yeah. She said, don't you ever think about God in the day? I said, oh, yeah, all the time. She said, you're praying all day then, aren't you? Yeah? So there's me trying to invent some reason to kick myself and therefore and ending up worrying about it. I don't worry about it now, actually. Then it moves on to do not fear. I think fear is the basis of a lot of this. Build your treasure in heaven. Nothing can destroy it. And this relates to the passage last week as well. Nothing can destroy what you build in heaven. Give to the needy, whereas anything we have in possessions or whatever can be destroyed, can't it? So where is your treasure? That is where your heart is. Okay. The key point to me is that God's giving us a gift. The kingdom of heaven. This is the end result of the whole thing. And if we focus on the fact that we are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, surely we've nothing to worry about. It's just earthly things. There's some other biblical references quite relevant to this. Keeping faith, for instance, Psalm 37, verses 7 to 9. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes? Don't we want to just judge them and punish them? And that irritates, doesn't it? It makes us worry. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. So God's doing the judgment. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Don't worry about the detail. Once you've worried about the big picture, you start digging into all the detail, don't you? Well, I do. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary with the angel. After the angel told her about bearing a son whose kingdom will never end, Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me." She didn't start picking holes in the detail. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19-20. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Sometimes we're not sure what to say to someone, maybe in a letter or whatever. But just do it, and don't worry about it. If you do it with the right heart, that's what it's telling us. Bring your worries to God. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've felt that peace once, some years ago, and it lasted about 2 hours. It did transcend all understanding. Leave your worries with God in 1 Peter. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, which relates to this passage as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, that's for sure, isn't it? Is this not a reverse reference to mindfulness? Have you come across mindfulness? It's there's a book called Mindfulness, written by Mark Williams and Danny Penman, about finding peace in a practical world. And I'm not knocking the book, don't get me wrong. This isn't, because it's very, very well written and thoroughly researched. But there's many aspects in it which comes straight out of Christianity and other religions as well, I might add, about, you know, meditation. But they've taken the spirit out of it and they've taken the practical aspects to use, given them a practical slant. Essentially, it's about concentrating on today, and tomorrow problems may have gone away. But of course, it's about changing the mind rather than changing your heart and spirit, which can only be achieved by faith. But I certainly recommend it as a series of techniques to, you know, you can force yourself not to worry. You can make a decision. Right, I'm going to be happy today. Happiness can be a decision, can't it? There was a film I saw a while back, 10 years ago actually, called Lucky Number 11. Anyone know it? Josh Hartnett? I love that film. But he had something I've always wanted. It was a disease called ataraxia. He had absolutely zero fear. The inability, the precise definition, the inability to feel any emotional disturbance or worry. So he smiled when a gun was pointed to his head in the film. The problem is, if we cease caring, it turns into an apathy for life, doesn't it? It's the complete antithesis of what we seek as Christians. And just one sort of final little story I'd like to leave you with was one about a Chinese hunter. He had hunting, and he fell over the edge of a cliff and grabbed a vine, and looked up, and there was a tiger staring down at him, dribbling on top of his head. So he thought, oh, I'd better go down. Looked down, there were two or three tigers hovering about beneath him. And he thought, what do I do? And then the tiger above started scratching away at the vine, and the vine started unraveling. And then he saw a bee flying just round the corner of his vision. Looked round, and it flew into a crack of the rock at the side. And he put his hand in and pulled out a big wadge of honey, and he ate it. And the honey tasted delicious. You see, despite what was going on around him and all the worries he had, you can still get a joy in life. I think that's the key of the point. And it's always stuck with me, that one. I'd like to leave you with one final thought. About worry. What good does it do? None. How does it improve life? It doesn't. Can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? No. Actually, you'll probably shorten it significantly. What does Jesus tell us? Do not worry. What does Jesus promise each one of us? The kingdom of heaven. If anyone here regularly feels those deep feelings of worry, that dryness of mouth, maybe that dark black piece of sticky mud in the centre of your chest that sort of squeezes the life out of you, feeling of hopelessness, being out of control, or more simply, that the joy of life seems to have deserted us because of our head being full of worries, then please come forward for prayer and dump them on Jesus. He died on the cross to reconcile us with the Father. So why should we question this? Let us live with joy and not fear and worry. Amen.